It's a pleasure to be with you today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you give us a pretty stern command today when you say, love me or hate money. Please let us treasure you. Let us take to heart your very stern warning so that we may flee from everything else but you and cling to you as you give us strength each day. In your name we pray. Amen. Sometimes, many times, I wish Jesus would give me some gray. You know, I wish he wouldn't be so black and white. In the gospel from Luke today, Jesus is pretty black and white. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Boy, if that isn't black and white, I don't know what is. It's either this way or it's that way. You either love God or you love money. And this is where Jesus speaking in black and white gets so frustrating. I mean, I think I love God, but I know that I also like money. You know, I just wish Jesus would give me some wiggle room in there. Give me some gray. Don't be so black and white. Give me some room to be human, to make some mistakes, because I'm not perfect and I don't think I can fit into these narrow descriptions you set for me. Well, we see Jesus being black and white again today, this time talking about greed. And today we're talking about greed both in Luke's gospel and in our text from 1 Timothy 6. Jesus is very demanding of you. He demands all of your attention, all of your affection, all of your desire. And when anything poses any competition for Jesus, he tells you to love him above anyone and anything else. He tells you no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or you will love the other. Or to put it another way, Jesus is asking you to love him with no competition. So love him exclusively only. Or don't love him at all. Well, there you have it. The two relationships we need to explore today. Your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with money. Let's talk about your relationship with money first. Our text that the sermon is based on from 1 Timothy 6, it begins like this. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. Now, that's not a bad translation, but I want to tweak that just a little bit. Godliness with indifference is a great gain. That indifference Paul is talking about is not just a ho-hum, lackadaisical attitude. You know, whatever happens, happens. Whatever comes my way, comes my way. This is a very specific indifference that is directed toward your attitude toward money. This indifference is placed within the framework of birth and death in our text. Paul says, these are the defining moments of your life. He says, you brought nothing into this world. As if to say, if you needed nothing when you came into this world, and what you had defined you in no way whatsoever, what makes you think it will be any different when you leave this world? And what makes you think it is any different in all the years God gives you between birth and death? So what happens when indifference is lacking? And in its place is discontentment, dissatisfaction, and a constant movement towards more money. In other words, what happens when I reject Jesus' black and white picture for my life, and I try and create as much gray area as possible in my relationship with money? Well, the gray becomes greed. And as the gray area increases, greed grows. And greed is not harmless. Notice how Paul painted greed, the very vivid picture he gives you. The picture is of a man drowning. Listen to our text again. Paul says, people who want to get rich or are pursuing money, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge, there's that picture of drowning, that plunge men into ruin and destruction. The picture Paul is painting is almost like a guy who's out there in the deep water, and he doesn't really know how to swim, and so he's frantically clawing at the water, and he's kicking those feet beneath him, but the harder he tries, the more tired out he gets. And that innocent little pursuit over money that you thought was harmless is actually drowning you. Now, this isn't just referring to the people who live in the large, luxuriant, multi-million dollar homes along the lake who are never satisfied with the next purchase and become dissatisfied with every new thing they get. Okay, that's a bit of a caricature. There's a little bit of truth to that, all right? But this is also true of the man who commutes to Chicago but lives outside of the Chain of Lakes area in a fixer-upper of a home. And he's running himself ragged, working full-time and going to school part-time. And he thinks that he'll finally be content when he gets the better job, the better income, the bigger house, and he can get cars and clothes and more commodities for all of his kids, and then he'll finally be content because he can give the family what they want. Both men, the large, luxuriant dweller and the fixer-upper chasing after that money, both people are drowning in their sin. Both people don't realize that that very pursuit they thought was getting them somewhere, well, it's actually getting them nowhere. They're just treading water. Okay, so maybe that's too drastic of a picture to apply to you, you know? Maybe you're not after the better income and the better house. You just want an innocent little boat, you know? It's the Chain of Lakes area. Somebody's got to catch the walleye out in the middle of the lake. You just want the innocent little kitchen renovation. You know, and I'm going to do most of the work myself, and the cupboard doors in the kitchen, well, they're practically falling off. Careful. Look what Paul says in our text. He says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And this love of money just isn't in the bigger house and the bigger income. And it's because Satan is like a little mouse, always working his way in through the small areas. I learned this from an exterminator that if a mouse can stick his nose under something, he can actually flatten his whole body to get where he wants to go. That's the devil squirming his way into your life, coming under the pantry door, coming in through even your smallest desires. But large are the consequences. Paul says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves, literally impaled themselves. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. This is why God asks you to have indifference. Your greed is a matter of life and death, and not drowning in the waters of greed or being impaled by the sharp spear of greed. Indifference makes all the difference. I thank God that my dad taught this to me. I want to use him as an example of being indifferent towards money. So he runs his company well, and God has blessed the family garbage business very much. And his work is to look for more ways for the company to become more profitable. Used to be throwing garbage, but he's old, he's got a bit of a belly. He was mainly in the office now. But his work is to pursue profitability. And he regularly says, I can't take any of this with me. You know, I don't want to be worth this much money when I die. He loves his work. But his work is to pursue profitability. But he is indifferent towards how much God blesses that work. I thank God that he taught, that he goes out of his way to talk to his children about this indifference toward money. And that he tries to pass on this indifference as much as possible, because I doubt I would have studied for ministry without the blessing of faith God gives, and by God's grace only, but by the blessing of faith God gives to dismiss the dollar signs and to do what you love. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be like my dad. He'd be the first person to tell you that he's not the gold standard. My mom would agree with that very much, because growing up, whenever she said, "You're just like your father," well, that wasn't a good thing. What I am saying is that everyone should seek after this blessing of faith God gives, to be indifferent toward money and the pursuit of money, toward the pursuit of more purchasing power. So we've established this. Paul says you should be indifferent. God says you should be indifferent. We know what the goal is. Now it's just a matter of reaching that goal. Indifference, yes, good. Okay, now determination. Determination to be just that, indifferent. So how's it coming? Is your determination faltering in being indifferent? I know mine regularly does. Determination and motivation are very complicated, and they're different for every person. But I found it very helpful that when I'm specifically suffering for determination in an area of my Christian life, very often it's because of a specific sickness, in my relationship with Jesus. You know, let me explain that a little bit. It's like you wake up in the morning and you think of everything you have to do, and so you get up to do it, but your head's a little hot. And you have a bit of a headache and you have no appetite whatsoever. And so you get up to go to do the things you got to do, but you get real dizzy and you have to brace yourself against the wall to keep from falling over. You want to do what you know you need to do, but your drive and your energy to do that are suffering. You've got a sickness, maybe a flu. You need to specifically address that sickness to do what you need to do. So what is the sickness that is affecting your energy and your drive to do what Jesus asks you to do? Now that's going to be different for every one of you. You got to look into your own heart. But might it be this? That you're not sure if you're in the black or the white. You're not sure if you love money and despise Jesus, the black, or if you love Jesus and despise money, the white. What you want is some gray, you know, some area to make mistakes, some area to have just a little bit of greed, but not too much. Some area to not feel like a fraud when I fail to do what Jesus asks me to do, to hate money. But Jesus' picture is very black and white. The fact is, you have a recurring love for money that you cannot shake. But you think, Jesus, I don't hate you, do I? I mean, I confess this attraction I have for money, and I pray Jesus to forgive me for this, but Jesus, it's a little challenging to love you when you tell me that I actually despise you. Never lower your standard. What's the standard? Well, in your relationship with money, that's indifference. We talked about that. But I know that I'm not going to do this perfectly. Never lower your standard. Well, why would I set a goal that I know I can't meet? Never lower your standard. Well, why am I trying to pretend that the love for money is not part of my motivation? Because no matter how much I try and combat that with the love for Jesus, I find it hard to love Jesus when I love money at the same time. Why am I trying to pretend that this love for money doesn't exist? Never lower your standard. So that's the standard in your relationship with money. But what's the standard in your relationship with Jesus? To love Jesus wholly, unequivocally, not comparing with other things, to have an unswerving love. But I sin. You know, I have this sin that's part of me, and I'd rip it out of me if I could. And I've tried. I can't. There's always something that gets in the way of loving Jesus. Never lower your standard. I know my treasure is in heaven, but look at everything around me that is always distracting me from my treasure in heaven. How am I supposed to hate money in the middle of all this constant temptation? Never lower your standard. Love Jesus. Or don't love him at all. I know that's a pretty stern statement. It's a challenging statement. And you would think that this command of Jesus to love him perfectly would actually drive you further from Jesus. But Jesus gives you this command to do the exact opposite, to drive you closer to him. You see that sorrow and guilt you feel over your failure to do what Jesus asks you to do? That very same sorrow and guilt is what Jesus wants to use to tell you exactly the opposite of what it is telling you. Jesus is saying, you do love me. And as you seek to love me more and more, I'm going to set the standard as high as possible so that you flee from all of this greed that drowns you and deceives you and pierces as impales you. I'm going to set the standard as high as possible, and I'm going to give you all the determination in the world to do that. You see, the exact same love that Jesus asks you to have for him, that's the same love he has for you. Jesus is indifferent to everything else except you. Jesus is dead set determined on you. Jesus set out for you from eternity to love you. To love you in the highest way possible. To love you in an unimaginable and indescribable way. So much so that he would give up the full use of his full power as true God who created all things and who controls all things. That he would give all of this up to come into the creation he created through the birth canal of a teenage girl. And to willingly let his hands and his feet be pierced with nails to a block of wood. To let himself be rejected and ridiculed and punished and insulted like a common criminal. All to show you that he loves you in the exact same way he asks you to love him. Unwavering, unswerving. Jesus gives you the love he asks you to have for him. Love Jesus, or don't love him at all. That's the black and white. That's the standard. Jesus, give me the strength, the boldness, the daring determination, and the absolute joy and privilege and pure pleasure to love you. as you love me in this way. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.